Hey everybody. Thanks, Regina, for that teaching. That's interesting. I had a lot of emotions going through as you were talking about those things. So at any rate, thank you. That's all of it I have to say about that for the time being. We'll see if some more of that comes up in this 45 minutes. I want to start with I want to start with a song. So amazing song. I asked Inner Wisdom what to play today, and in came Alison Krauss, who I really like. I had not heard that song before, so when I went and did a search, that came up, and I think it's absolutely perfect. Take my life and let it be a living prayer, my Lord to thee, God to thee. but it's just right. It's perfect, right? I mean, that's surrender. Okay. Yeah, actually, it reminds me of a line I wrote in a tip the other day that said, I'm trying to remember. Father, please show me how to live in the truth of the miracle that I am. Something like that. And that is indeed my prayer. So, guys, I'm going to just, I'm not real sure about it, about picking up where I left off my journaling, but that's what I'm going to do, and we'll see where it takes us. I just want to express my gratitude for the opportunity to come in here and share, to teach what I would learn. I am grateful for that. I'm grateful for you guys. And that's why I'm not real sure about reading this old journaling, but we're just going to see what happens. So here we go. And I say old, it's from the beginning of last month, about this time last month. And I was working on the tip for God's voice speaks to me all through the day. And this is what we wrote. So what inner wisdom wrote. You know, it's funny because when I do these tips, it's like it just feels a little bit different than when I'm just journaling. So anyway, let me read it. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. This fact is true whether you know it or not. God's voice speaks all through the day. The question is whether you take the time to hear it. How does one hear God's voice? God's voice is heard when one chooses not to listen to the thinking mind. God's voice is a blessing upon you. God tells us where to go, how to be. God's voice is heard in softness. God's voice is heard in softness and stillness. God's voice is heard resonating within the heart. What does it mean to hear God's voice? It may be heard as a gentle knowing. It may be heard with or without words. It is never heard as fear, as condemnation, judgment. It is that which resonates in the air. Be still for a moment and listen to God's voice as it speaks to you now. Listen for it. What do you hear? And I got to tell you, I mean, I think that's a perfect reading to go with that song, right? Yeah. Take my life and let it be a living prayer. God, to thee. I said, it is experienced by me as a felt sense. It feels spacious and unconcerned. Unconnected by past or future to this moment. Indeed, it feels to be this moment. I wait for the voice to tell me what to write, but I find that it does not come into my mind as words. Rather, it comes as I allow the need for words to pass. It comes as I allow breath to pass unimpeded through my body, as I do not try to grasp knowledge. As I become empty, I'm filled with the words of God. Yeah, I don't know. Excuse me that I have. Man, that just seems like a love poem. I just love it. So, but I don't have anything to add to it. So I'll. I'm just going to move on to the next journaling. I asked Father, what would you share with me today? And again, I don't know what the lesson was that day. It doesn't really say that here. But I can see that I'm writing down going, okay, tell me what to say so I have something to write in these tips, right? and then there's some, it's really funny. It's because frankly, embedded within that idea is still this idea of separation. It's still like I'm petitioning some being to come in and give me help when I need it. So there's some, there's a little bit of guilt in that. It's a little bit different, but what just came in the mind, what just came in the mind was when Regina was talking a long time ago, and I know it's in NTI somewhere, about thinking she was bothering Holy Spirit. Am I asking too many questions, Holy Spirit? Yeah, and of course the response is, of course not. I'm here for you all the time. Again, I find that's true. And many times, and probably in some of what I'll look at today, I'm reminded, you know, don't be silly. How could you bother yourself? You're not speaking to some other being. So you're just going to... your experience, your direct experience of your source. So anyway, so I asked, what would you share with me today? And with all of these thoughts, I think in mind, and the response says, it does seem easier when you're not trying to extract an answer. This is the seeking energy you have often heard discussed. As you're beginning to see the merging of the seeker with the sought, which is what we were just talking about, right? As you're beginning to see the merging of the seeker with the sought, the self, little s self, with the self, big S self, you can see that the seeker idea begins to fall apart. Not only are you the leader in your own awakening, you are the end, the process, and the answer to what is sought. Help me to help you by remembering that there's nowhere to go, nothing to do or gain. The absolute most important thing you can do is rest in my embrace. Yeah, and that brings to mind, and I heard Regina talking about maybe the other night in, anyway, I heard Regina talking about how since our meditation retreat, she was finding it much easier to practice meditating for, I think, a couple hours a day. And I too had that experience where after diving deep into meditation in that retreat, and I keep saying that retreat because frankly I can't remember the name of it. Self-inquiry meditation, I don't know. At any rate, I too had that experience where it was, thank you, natural meditation retreat. Regina says, yeah, and it was an awesome retreat. And again, I had that same experience where when I came home, it's like an hour. Psh, that's so easy, you know, and that's where I want to be, and that's where what I want to do. And since then, I mean, I think I got a lot caught up in my mind and what's been going on lately. But anyway, since then, that ease seems to have diminished a bit for me, and I'm taking smaller bites again. I'm meditating for a half an hour at a time. And I find that once again, I'm having to remind myself that this is not, oh good, you did your half hour, you get another gold star on your sheet. If you get enough of these gold stars when you die, you know, we'll open up the gates to heaven, you'll get to come in, right? you know, as if it's some kind of rite or ritual Yeah, building my stairway to heaven. Amen, Regina. You know, as if it's a chore. And I don't mean like I'm slogging through it, but, you know, I'm not just like gobbling it up. Like I would listen to, actually, after I listened to that Alison Krauss song this morning, I just let the, you know, the YouTube autoplay play. And I heard lots of beautiful music and in that, kind of in that style, and just really, really moved my heart. And that's the naturalness that I would experience in meditation. That's, you know, not this, okay, we're sitting here. So anyway, help me to help you by remembering that there's nowhere to go. Nothing to do or gain. The absolute most important thing you can do is to rest in my embrace. And again, this was a month ago, so let's see. I don't know what this next issue is about. It says you ask about the house issue. I have no idea what the house issue was at that time. But it goes on to say, you see how it is both an irritant and a means of practice. It brings up the question of trust and fear and lesson. I have no need to try your patience or your trust, do you? And then that led me to ask, I said, the issue of lessons that need to be learned came up in reading Acts last week. Must we really learn lessons? Yeah, I guess I have a problem with that. I mean, you know, you either rest in the embrace of the source. You know, you either rest in yourself or you're learning. So, you know, I guess I find some irritation at the idea that, you know, these are your lessons. You got to go through them. So I can see that irritation. So when I asked about lessons and must we really learn lessons, the response was, the question is it possible to just abide in the truth of your being, or must one first pass through some rite of passage? The answer is obvious. You need not pass through a rite of passage. You may, however, need to see yourself as a flower that is unfolding. In order to experience the beauty of the bloom, you must wait until all the petals have received the attention they need from the sun, which will coax the beauty of the flower out of hiding. The same is true for you. There are no stages you must go through. Everything that you are is available to you in this very instant. That's a good sentence. This last sentence. And by the way, that's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. I get how that's different than, you know, going through these trials and, you know, did she pass the test and can she go on to the new level, the next level? I mean, that's kind of the way I was thinking about lessons. And this is like, no. You're just unfolding, you know. You're just blossoming. And that takes some, you know, you spring right open. It's a gradual opening. But anyway, this next sentence is hilarious. It says, everything that you are is available to you in this very instant. Any regulation of the knowingness that you seek is coming from your end, not mine. And I get that, you know, it's like, we talk about our creative ability, and I don't mean that in a the secret sense. We talk about our inherent constant creation, and we see the world that we create, and um, And we also talk about the possibility, you know, the holy instant, the possibility of immediate partaking of the words that are in my mind, the truth, immediate immersion in the truth. And gosh, you know, I think that I have seen that all over Course in Miracles and NTI, you know. It's like you've created this, so it could all be uncreated in a moment. You know, all your beliefs, all your crap that you bring to this journey, you know, you're the one that makes it a journey. You're the one that makes it a process. If you wanted absolute truth right now, if that's truly what you wanted with your entire beingness, that's what you'd have. That's the sense that this sentence is seems to be going to for me. Any regulation of the knowingness that you seek is coming from your end, not mine. I said, is there anything else you would like to share with me today? And the response was, you are the one. You remain the one. Your pretensions that you might be something else are coming to an end. Their pretend nature is becoming more and more apparent. Rejoice, blessings upon us all. So I'm going to move on to this next journal entry. My only function is the one God gave me. Again, you know, in contemplation of that tip from A Course in Miracles. My only function is the one God gave me. and I wrote, what do I perceive as my function? I have been told it is forgiveness or discerning between reality and fantasy. How do I learn to apply this discernment in support of truth? today, let's move the exercise from our morning meditation to the events of our day. If we look at the cause of our upset, we can begin to see where we hold a goal other than realizing the truth. The question must be, what am I desiring in this moment and why? My perfect peace lies underneath of any upset. If I let go of the goals I seek that have nothing to do with truth, I will find I need do nothing to experience the truth. My most cherished goals can be seen in what brings about my upset. Am I upset because someone doesn't seem to hear me? Am I upset because someone misunderstood my motives? Am I upset because there seem to be more bills than money? These upsets show us very clearly what we hold dear. You are the one who can release these goals by releasing the belief that the truth about you is at risk. Your need to be seen in a certain way by others is revealed when their statements, their actions, and even their imagined thoughts, what you think they think, run counter to your own estimation of yourself. And this is this for me is a significant paragraph here, because I'm beginning to look very seriously, very deeply at this unworthiness issue, this I am bad thought. And I think it's starting to sneak in, creep in to my journaling here. Again, you are the one who can relinquish these goals by releasing the belief that the truth about you is at risk. Your need to be seen in a certain way. Who needs to be seen in a certain way? How identified can you get with the self, right? And I do have a need to be seen in a certain way. I mean, it's a pretend need. It's an imagined need. I don't really need it, but I think I need it. A lot of the time, I think I need it. Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, surely they know I know what I'm talking about. It's wearisome. It's really wearisome to be need to be seen in a certain way, to think that that's an actual need. Your need to be seen in a certain way by others is revealed when their statements, their actions, and even their imagined thoughts, what you think they think, run counter to your own estimation of yourself. That's also an interesting sentence because, I don't think they do run counter to my own estimation of myself. Because again, as I'm looking at this, I am bad thought. I'm not worthy unless I do some miraculous stuff that you all are going to love. Yeah. Then I'm worthy. Right. But I think without that, and without the accolades saying, man, you showed us some miraculous stuff. I think that I kind of rest in this unworthiness place. This sneaking suspicion or, you know, really this fear that I am unworthy. That without creating something, without knocking your socks off, I'm unworthy. Cheryl says honest sharing is miraculous stuff. Jay says it seems like fear motivates us to act as if we are not being present. Well, you know, again it's that seeing everything through a filter. When Regina and I talked about some of this and some time we had together recently. And I frankly didn't know where to start. And she's like, well, just start talking. So, you know, I did. And we kind of looked at what was going on with me. And I said, well, you know, you really hurt my feelings when you did this or that. And she's like, oh, well, let me tell you what was really going on. And of course, I had it all backwards. I had it absolutely backwards. I thought that she was not paying attention to what I was saying and what, because, you know, I saw her looking around the room or whatever. And she's like, I was deeply contemplating what you were saying. You know, you were reading a quote about, you know, being present within. And so I'm really being present with everything. I'm like, oh. So, you know, so this this filter of unworthiness distorts everything. I mean, and I think that that's that's a good example. It was absolutely the opposite of what was going on. And this filter just, you know, it just twists all of that. And I can tell you that as part, when this began coming up, and this may be the date when it first began coming into my awareness, what I was seeing was, you know, I'd get up in the morning and I'd race to get my tablet so I could see if Regina said, oh, I liked your tip. For God's sakes. I'm just telling the truth, right? It's like, oh my goodness. But I could see that that was no different than... you know, that the reaping of any accolades that might be present is no different than going, you suck, you suck, you suck. Oh, is that a cuss word? Okay. You know, it's just the other side of the same coin. It's still looking outside myself to gauge my own self-worth. So let's go back to that. Let's see. Your need to be seen in a certain way by others is revealed when their statements, their actions, and even their imagined thoughts, what you think they think, run counter to your own estimation of yourself. What you are is firmly established and is not subject to challenge. Only our image of ourselves is subject to challenge. And if it can be challenged, can it be our truth? Yeah, it's a fool's game. Even if you find this fool's gold, what have you gained? Even if somebody goes, "Oh, you're great." You know, it's just, it's the image. It's not, it can't be the truth. It's in the opposite direction of my truth. And I asked, "Father, what else would you have me see in this lesson?" And the response, "You do not create your truth, for you did not create yourself. Those things that seem to need defending are not the truth of you. When you experience an upset, understand that the upset is present because you believe you created yourself, and thus the creation needs defending. Realize," this sentence has a typo in it. "Realize you need not defend against that which is. Realize that which is the truth need not be defended by you. Neither be defended against. Truth need not be defended against, nor defended by me. Truth is, regardless of what I think about it, regardless of what filters I bring to it, regardless of how I see it, truth is, it needs, I don't need to defend myself against it, and I don't need to defend it, support it, build it up. When you see an upset, ask me how your definition of yourself is conflicting with your experience. Yeah, I mean, again, there's that idea of, you know, who would need this to be different? Who would need a specific outcome here? You know, those are situations where my definition of myself is conflicting with my experience. I mean, we just heard Regina talking about, you know, absolute allowance. Who has a preference? Ask me to remind you of the truth of yourself in that moment. You cannot maintain goals of personhood and experience yourself as unaffected spirit simultaneously. No matter how fabulous, how lofty those goals, how altruistic, not that that's necessarily what I was talking about in this moment, but it's just impossible. As Regina just told us, you cannot maintain goals of personhood and experience yourself as unaffected spirit simultaneously. You must choose the goal you would seek. If you find you have substituted another goal, such as being worthy based upon your actions, you need merely recognize that goal and choose to let it go. Every encounter with a situation, person, or thought, every encounter with a situation, person, or thought can be measured against your goal of knowing the truth about yourself. Yeah, in fact, I would argue that that's the only that's the only measure. Every encounter with a situation, person, or thought can be measured against your goal of knowing the truth about yourself. If you are upset in any encounter, you can be sure that you are in pursuit of a goal that needs defending, which obviously can't be about the truth. If you're upset in any encounter, you can be sure that you're in pursuit of a goal that needs defending. Stop. Ask yourself what you truly desire, and remember that your true desire needs no defense. This is the motivation to let all things be just as they are. In learning to love what is, you are able to see where your precious energy is spent in your efforts to support goals you no longer cherish. In learning to love what is, you are able to see where your precious energy is spent in your efforts to support goals you no longer cherish. Yeah, so I mean, just it's just like, wake up. Don't go around being so unconscious. Don't, you know, the phrase that just came in the mind was, don't wear your heart on your sleeve. Right? I mean, it's just don't be subject to those, to the old, hang on. Don't be subject to the old dictates. What used to motivate you? What used to run your life? What used to give you your juice? Be aware. Be aware of what you're choosing. Be aware of the goals that you're setting out there. It's to be this great person, or seen as this great person, or to prove to myself that I'm not unworthy. Are those really my goals? Yeah, to the whims of the world. Exactly, Kathy. No, that's not, those are no longer my goals. So the first step is to recognize that I'm still marching to that tune, right? In learning to love what is, you are able to see where your precious energy is spent in your efforts to support goals you no longer cherish. Be mindful as you go about your day of your upsets and let them lead you to your new goal by asking me to show you what you have been desiring instead. That is all blessings. And again, I think we've got a few minutes left. I think we're digging down deeper and deeper and deeper into this lesson that's up for me. And this is where I wrote about the friend who had agreed to help me with something, but it turned out she couldn't do it, and I was not very happy about it. And I said that I was angry because those actions seemed to result, well, I didn't even write seem, those actions result in a burden to me. It feels as if the energy is anger at being overburdened. I realize I'm angry with the folks who I did that recent interview with for the same thing. What does being overburdened say about me? And again, look at this first sentence. I am concerned that others might think, right? Yeah, Jay says he's had the same experience in recent months with being angry about being overburdened. But that's, you know, but and where what I found was that wasn't really the issue, but that was certainly the energy I was feeding back into the universe. I am concerned that others might think I am unable to fulfill my own obligations. If I am unable to fulfill my obligations, I am not capable of being who I need to be to take over the vice president's position in this organization. I'm afraid I'm not capable of doing that job. My fear is projected as anger onto others who seem to add to my burden. So there's a lot going on there. You know, it's like, in fact, I can see that this self-image that I'm so worried about protecting, this is hilarious, the self-image that I'm so worried about protecting is not, it's not even what I think it is. It's not even what I would attribute it to. It's not that I'm worried about what you guys think about me, although that's part of it. It's worried about what I think about me, right? Yeah. I'm worried that the truth of me is I'm just really not capable. And I said, Father, what would you say to me about this anger, feeling of incompetence, overburden? And the response, I am afraid, is what you teach yourself when you feel overburdened. Which, again, was a surprise to me. I didn't think that would have anything to do with it. But if I'm always teaching myself when I feel overburdened, this is what I'm teaching myself. I am afraid. let things be as they are, and what needs to get done will get done. The anger only leads you to believe the truth of your fear, that you are not and cannot be enough. Which is what we just said, right? You should let go your desire to do what is beyond your capacity to do. What is beyond your capacity to do need not be done. Wow, that's a fresh perspective. All right. Be willing to look at that which you do, which creates its own burden. What is it that you are giving priority to that can be let go? And I can tell you, man, I'm having this coming up with gentle healing. It's like, no, I need to take all day long to be prepared, you know, to teach gentle healing on Tuesday nights. And it's just not true. I don't need to be all prepared. I need to, as always, get out of the way. Here's the materials. Have the materials in front of you and then get out of the way. That's what's required, right? You don't have to listen to every audio, Regina. You don't have to listen when Regina taught it. You don't have to listen to her NTIs live when she taught them. You don't have to hit the same point, you know. Just have the materials and get out of the way. So what am I doing to create my own burden? I'm thinking that this self-image needs to be protected. So by God, I better be on my, you know, I better be on my best behavior. I better be on top of this. I mean, who's creating that burden? And it's ridiculous because I'm defending against what doesn't need to be defended against. So I see I'm just about out of time. Let me finish. There's two sentences. So what is it that you are giving priority to that can be let go? What is here now that can be let go so that you do not continue to feed yourself the energy that is generated when you feel overburdened? All right. So I'm open to that. Last night I did a little bit more, you know, just having the materials ready. I am open to exploring this. I am bad. I am not worthy. Silly belief. But it's in there. So, guess we'll look at it again next week. I love you guys. Thank you for letting me be here. Yeah.